Shalom, this is Rabbi Eli Rothberger from Yisrael Pesei Clifton. We are continuing our Daf HaShavua, Insights of the Daf series. Today's Shir is Masech HaSukkah Daf Nun Gimel, and the topic is, if I'm here, that's enough. This Shir is going to be very different than the normal type of structure that we give. It's not going to be focusing on too much halacha, but rather taking an agadata that we have, a rather famous agadata, contrasting it with similar agadatas, contrasting it with other agadatas relating the same personality, and ultimately coming up a way to rectify the inconsistency in our story with the persona of the person involved in all three stories. And that persona I'm talking about is Hillel, and the quote that he's going to be giving is a very famous quote, which is Tana Amro Hillel Zakein. They said about the following, but Hillel Hazakein, Kishayeh Samech B'Simchas Beis HaShoeva, when he was rejoicing at the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, Amar Kain, he would say the following phrase all the time. This is what he was known for. What were the words? Imanikan HaKolkan. If I'm here, everybody's here. Vimeinikan, and if I'm not here, Mikan, then who's here? The statement is really perplexing and really seemingly out of character with a regular person saying, if I'm here, then we can start, because I'm the only one that seemingly is important. It's a very egotistical sounding statement. Very, very surprising to hear that from anybody, much less a Talmud Chacham, and much less a person like Hillel. Because I was going to show you two stories, two very well-known stories about Hillel, which clearly develop his persona as his personality as one of the great Anovim, or the humble people of the Talmud, which of course is going to contrast with this statement, and we're going to have to figure out what exactly is the nature of this statement. But let's first get back to the first two episodes about Hillel. One of the first episodes is what we're introduced to, probably one of the first stories that, as a kid, we hear about Hillel. It comes from Maseches Yuma, Daf Lamed Hey, and here's the story. Amru Lav El Hillel Zokin, Shebechol Yom Vayom Hayosa Mistaker Be Krapak a bit, Rapakab. Let me try that again. Sorry, it's Babylonian currency. Haya ose umistaker bitch rapakait. That every day he would work and he would get a trapaik coin, very, very little. What would he do with it? Tchetzio yanose in the shomer beis hamedrash. Tchetzio the parnasa, so the parnasas anche beiso. So first of all, you see Hillel's priorities right there. Whatever they take with a small coin, he would split it 50-50. Half would go to his family for what he needed for the day, and the other half would go to pay the entrance fee to the guard by the base medrash. Apparently, to get into the base medrash in Hillel's time, not only did you go through a security check, but you also had to go ahead and pay to get in. Now, what happens? Pamachas, one time, lo matzah lihistaker, he wasn't able to raise enough money to go ahead and pay for the base medrash. And the guard didn't let him come in. So what does Hillel do? Shockingly, all of Inisla, he got up and climbed up Yoshua Piaruba, and he sat by the window, Kadesh Yishma Divrei Elokim Chayim Mipi Shemayim V'Atalion, to hear the words of Shemayim V'Atalion. That's a famous story. We're going to get to the ending very soon. Or we'll get to the ending. I'll paraphrase the ending. Of course, it was a cold winter night, and ultimately, Hillel fell asleep. The next morning, people realized that there was somebody on the roof, and they realized that there was no light coming in. And then, thankfully, he was not the victim of hypothermia, but he was pretty close to getting hypothermia. And eventually, they said that he could come in without any money. But let's get back to the details of the story. The story is the guard didn't let him in. So what does Hillel do? He climbs up on the roof. What would you or I do? You or I would say, wait a second, I'm Hillel, I'm an important scholar, I'm an important chacham. How can you not let me in? I come all the time. You know me. Can't you give me a break? And besides, I guarantee you, if you went and gave it a fahir to Hillel and gave a fahir to the guard, I guarantee you Hillel knew a lot more Torah than the guard did. How is it possible? Why is Hillel not going ahead and just, you know, basically doing what we all do? So the truth is, the Marsha mentions that the following. The Marsha writes about Hillel, Shakodim Shehalach Beis Medrash Hayholach Mistaker L'Kayim Meshishaninu is to fulfill what we've been taught. Kol Torah Sheishim Amalacha Sofel Iskayim V'Chol Torah V'She'enim Amalacha Ein Sofel Iskayim. So, because any Torah that's coupled with work, that's going to last. Torah that doesn't have work or Parnasa will not last. So what you see over here, the first thing the Marsha says, that Hillel didn't want to make an exception for himself. And he didn't want to go ahead and use his Torah learning as a way to go ahead and achieve the ability to go into the Beis Medrash. Instead, what did he do? Instead, he relied on what he was teaching everybody, and that is, you have to earn it yourself. He didn't treat himself or view himself as better than anybody else. Continues the Marsha. The Marsha wants to know, why is there a guard over there by the door? And one of the things that the Marsha says is, number one, could be that, you know, because the Bate Medrash were in the fields and you needed some protection, which we know is a halacha, because that's when that's the advent of reciting Baruch Hashem Yilam Amen V'Amen after Meir of every night, and singing Vayechulu and Magen Avos and Kabbalah Shabbos and Friday night and so on. But there's another reason. It says, Inami Shalom Yomenichna Kol HaBeis HaMedrash could read in a parak Tfilas HaShachar. That any Talmud who was inside didn't match his outside. In other words, he wasn't a worthy person. He wasn't allowed to the Beis Medrash. Fal Devar Zeh Hoshivu Shomer. So what do we see? Hillel realized, maybe, you know what? Maybe I'm not worthy. Maybe I don't belong. So clearly, Hillel was being a very, very humble person. We have another example. Famous story from Gemara Shabbos, where you had one person who decided to make a bet with another person, and they said that anybody who goes ahead and gets Hillel angry will earn 400 zuz. Now, how much is 400 zuz? I'm not so sure how much 400 zuz is, but if you base it on Chag Gadya, if one goat costs 2 zuz, so one little goat, so this is enough to buy 200 goats, or at least a herd of goats, so clearly it's a lot of money. And what does the guy do? The guy picks the most inopportune time to come, the most stressful time of the week. He picks Erev Shabbos while Hillel is showering, and he comes, and instead of saying Rabbi Hillel, just goes, where's this Hillel guy over here? And he asks him the absolute most ludicrous questions, really klutzkashes, stuff that you would see maybe on a lahavdil, like on a phone scam type of thing, or one of these men of the streets trying to get people to laugh. For example, one question the Gemara asks is, Ma'ar Roshan Shel Bavlim Skalgalos, why are the heads of the Babylonians pointing? And what does Hillel answer to this brilliant question? Hillel says, Bini. First of all, he calls him my son. And then he says, Shela Gadola Shalta. Yes, a great question. He asked a great question. He was just trying to go ahead and get a rise out of Hillel. But Hillel says, yes, a great question. And he gave an answer, Mnesha Ein Lahen Chayos Pichos. They don't have good midwives. And because they don't have good midwives, they don't deliver the babies well, and the head comes out a little deformed. This goes on and on and on and on, till finally at the end, the man is so frustrated. He says, Amar lo, atahu Hillel shekor nasi Yisrael. Are you Hillel the great Nasi? Amar lo, yehain. He says, yes, I am. So Amar lo, imatahu, if you're the great Hillel, yirbu kamoscha b'Yisrael, there should be nobody like you. And now Hillel says, what do you mean? What did I do wrong? Why are you giving me kind of a curse that nobody should be like me? It's kind of saying a terrible thing to him. So he says, Amar lo, neshibat el yodcha arba miyozuzi. Because you'll cause me to lose 400 zuz. And Hillel's thinking, what on earth is this crazy person doing? First he comes and bangs on my door every Shabbos, asks me the most mishugana questions, and now he's going ahead and saying, I cost the guy 400 bucks, I never saw the guy in my life. And the man says, we made this bet, and because of this bet, you caused me to lose the bet. So he says, Hillel says, ah, oh, Amar lo, hevi zar beruchacha, always be careful about your temper. Rather, you lose another 400, lose 800, lose 1,000, so to speak, as long as Hillel's not going to get angry. So we see over here two examples of Hillel was a very humble person, not only in the way that he dealt with others, but also the way he dealt with himself. So how is it possible that Hillel can say, Amani kan hakol kan? So we're going to bring two perspectives, one from Rashi and one from Tosfos, each one a little bit different, but each one
having an answer that, of course, is mutually, they're not mutually exclusive, and they're both definitely correct answers and both approaches to life, which are very, very important. Let's first take Rashi. Rashi's answer is, Imani kana kolkan, it says, kana yadorish the rabim shlo yechatu. He's giving people a message that people shouldn't sin, and what is it? He's doing it b'shmo shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hillel is almost paraphrasing Hashem. He's saying, this is not my idea, but this is almost what Hashem is saying. Imani kan hakol kan, kozman sheni chafetz abayis azeh, shechinas hishkurubo, yekvodu kayim, v'yavoa kol kan. As long as my shechin is here, then everybody can come. V'im techetu, but if you sin, Vasalik Shchinasi, and I remove my Shchina, Mia Vokan, who's going to come here? And the truth is, we know this on a simple level. That's what it was like. Yerushalayim used to be ruins. There's a famous story that they tell about in the 1700s where, excuse me, they used to use the Kosel HaMaravi as a garbage dump. And they did it for hundreds of years. So clearly it was a place without the Shchina. But there's even more to it that Rashi's telling us. And this is how Shmuel Rozovsky explains it. And that is, you know, Simchas Beis HaShoeva was a time of great Simcha. But with a time of great Simcha comes a great temptation to sin. But you know it's such a great temptation to sin that in the previous stuff, in Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis and Beis Amud Aleph, we see the advent of a Mechitza came about through this particular Simchas Beis HaShoeva celebration. And the idea of building a balcony was the third solution. They tried two other things and it didn't work. So you see that there's this possibility of definitely having a lot of sinning. So what's Hillel doing? So he's doing two things. First of all, on a simple level, on a Sur Meirah level, he's telling everybody, not only do you need the Shechin in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's also this. Keep in mind that if you sin, things are not going to be good. So keep in mind that Hashem's there. I'm here all the time. If I'm here, I'm going to stop you from sinning. And if I'm not here, I'm not going to stop you from sinning. You're going to be able to do whatever you want. And this, of course, parallels the first halacha in Shulchan Aruch, which quotes the idea of Shivisi Hashem Negdi Samed. A person goes ahead and places Hashem in front of them the entire time. They're not going to sin. But there's another aspect as well, and that is, in terms of how does one approach a simcha? Do we approach a simcha as one of, like, just plain joy? Or do we approach the simcha as a way to thank it, to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And of course, Rav Soloveitchik is known to say many times that the most best simcha that you have, the most special simcha you have, is a simcha lifnei Hashem. What's a simcha lifnei Hashem? You dance thinking about Hashem in a kavadik way, you behave in a particular way, and you thank Hashem for the simcha. And what Hillel was doing was also not only reminding people not to sin, but also telling people, bring Hashem into your simcha. When you bring Hashem into your simcha is elevated, and it can bring you to such high levels. As the Gemara in Shabbos says, nevuah is only shown on a person when a person is in a state of simcha. That's how Rashi learns it. Tosfos has a different approach, but also fits in very much with A, the humility of Hillel, and also something we can glean from also. Tosfos quotes to Yerushalmi, which basically infers that from the Yerushalmi, that Hillel was really talking about himself. And what Tosfos ends up coming up at the end, is that Hillel was saying, really, my praise is important. Hashem does want my tefillos. As quotes a couple of psukim, including the end of the Imaz Miras Yisrael, Luxiv, V'yata Kadosh Yoshev Tilos Yisrael, Hashem, you're holy, and you live, you dwell on the praise of Yisrael. Hillel was saying that everybody is, each and every one of us is important in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One shouldn't think that they're too insignificant. Rather, Hashem looks forward to our praise. It's up to us to use the opportunity to step up and serve Hashem. This is an example of the Gaylus HaAdam philosophy, espoused by so many of the Baalei HaMusar, including Slabodka. You see this over here from Hillel. And we have that value also. It's a sign of humility. It's to know your place. Humility doesn't mean to walk around thinking that you're a Nebuch, thinking that you're a Shmata. But humility, real humility, is to know ahead that a person should go and say, I know who I am, I recognize my place in the earth, I thank Hashem for that place and that tafkid, and I hope to be able to live up to it. So what do we see? We saw this puzzling statement by Hillel which says, Imani kan hakol kan. We contrast it with two examples of Hillel's great humility, both as a person dealing with himself in the story of Shabbos and the Beis Medrash, and in the story of how we dealt with others in the story about the person that wanted to get him angry. And we have the two approaches of Rashi and Tosos. Rashi is saying that Hillel was really telling us that we have to bring Hashem into every situation that we have. And the other approach of Tosos is that, no, Hillel was talking about himself to remind us that even though we are humans and we are somewhat insignificant in the bigger scope of things, nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for us because HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves when we put out the effort to connect. And every single aspect that we do, or learning, or davening, or all the mitzvahs that we do, are all dear in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Have a wonderful week. Kol Tov.